Okay. Sarah, are you there? This is Jerry Daniels and Sarah Reichelt of Trosware fame.
Good morning.
Hey. Good evening. Well, we want to talk today a little about iOS 10 and all the good stuff. But before we do that, I want to harken back to last week's episode. This week, an interesting note about Sierra that I had not uncovered before our last podcast. Maybe you did. Did you see the article? Let me get to a source here. On the overspill about ARM making its way into Sierra?
I didn't see the article on overspill, but I did see somebody tweeted that they had look through some of the source code header files in
right.
the latest Xcode 8 and found references to a non-Intel-based chip.
Yeah, and there's a whole lot more detail to it than that. Tectastic in the Netherlands, a site there, .nl, they had some very interesting stuff. They related it to the binaries and all the changes that we saw come, oh, I think it was a year and a half, something like that ago, right? How they're handling the binaries mm-hmm. differently with something bit something. I forget what it is now.
Oh, yes, the bit slicing, so that the App Store can actually provide a sort of customized version of each app to your device depending on the capabilities of your device.
Well, there's evidently some of that. Well, that's all true, of course, but evidently there's a lot more to it than that. But we'll leave that for another time. But I thought I would bring that up and food for thought for everyone who heard last week's podcast and food for thought for us, too. All right, let's carry
Indeed.
On with iOS 10.
Well, last time we discussed macOS Sierra, Jerry, you had not yet installed Sierra.
Correct.
Now, this time we're talking about iOS 10. Have you installed iOS 10?
I have indeed.
Ah, excellent. So we can both
yes.
talk about what changes we have discovered.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. We're both pretty, Mary Jane and I are both pretty happy with it. I'm not sure Joe hasn't gotten it yet, our son, but other than that, the two of us have, and you know, we're pleased as punch. We like a lot of it, but you have some specifics. Let's go through them.
Okay. Well, one of the big features that Apple was pushing was messages.
Yes.
And a lot of stuff. Well, I guess one of the very big popular things was stickers. I can't say I'm really into stickers. but they seem to be doing really well in the App Store, so there you go. What I really do like, and I mentioned this in Sierra as well, is the ability to react to a text. And to, you know, you can press on a text and then you can give it a thumbs up or a heart or whatever.
Right, right, like a social media venue.
Yeah, exactly. So without having to type something. Interestingly, we had a family conversation early on when most of us had installed iOS 10 and one of my sons had not. And so we got a demonstration of what happens if you do these reactions for somebody who doesn't have iOS 10. And I presume this works for Androids or any other type of message receiving. But it actually types it out. So it says, you know, so-and-so loved, and then it quotes the text that they put the heart on, or so-and-so emphasized.
Okay.
So that's interesting. So even people without iOS 10 installed still get the benefit of these, even though they can't do them themselves.
Right, right, right. Well, that's smart on Apple's part. And, you know, that's kind of their MO, right? They like to do things that way if they can.
Yeah, and although the adoption rates for iOS 10 are pretty much as good as expected, over 50% now after, 2 weeks,
right.
they still don't want to cut off people on iOS 9 anyway. That's
right.
What the developers conference recommends is that you support the latest version of the previous operating system in your app. So now we're in iOS 10, you should compile your apps for the latest version of iOS 9. So you get the good stuff and the security patches that have been applied to iOS 9 over its lifetime, but you don't support back iOS 8 and 7 because that's just too much code branching.
Well, it is too much branching, and above and beyond that, the adoption rate is so high, it doesn't pay.
Yes, yeah. That's a big advantage of being an iOS developer rather than an Android developer.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started.
No, okay, we won't go there. All right, so apart from messages, I guess the huge change in iOS 10 is the whole new lock screen experience.
Yeah, well, the whole it all kind of ties into a number of things. And and I agree with you. Messages is the big deal. Federico Fatici of Mac Stories fame has kind of picked up the John Siracusa mantle of documenting NOS and having it printed as a book almost the day it releases. In this case, he's doing the iOS. Federico's doing iOS. Siracusa did OS 10 for 10 years. So one quarter, well, was it one quarter? 20 or 25% of Federico's writing on iOS 10 was about messages.
Well, I think that matches the emphasis that Apple put on it as well.
Well, look at the website. There's a ton of stuff for messages. You know, in the website, Apple's website, where they talk about iOS 10. A great deal of it's taken up with messages.
Oh, and isn't it cool to be able to hand write a note as well?
I did my first one today. Pretty cool. Now that, I assume, someone who didn't have iOS 10 could still get the drawing.
Yes, I think that comes across as a PNG, an attachment, basically.
Yeah, I think it does too. But it was pretty cool. I mean, I liked doing it. It was. I'd always read about that and what have you, but I, for some reason, didn't really catch the cue to do it, you know. But today, somehow, I did. And Joe asked me a question, and I wrote him back, and it appeared as my handwriting. And he got it, and he loved it, and he sent me back something equally crazy.
Well, I think you're right. There's no doubt that the interface for messages is now more complex because. It's not just typing in a text message any longer. It's using the app to add stickers, or it's using a force press to add a reaction, or it's using the what do they call it? The touch to the scribble interface to actually send a picture or to scribble or to write something. You know, then there's the access to the camera, which we always had. But but definitely the whole interface is more complicated.
Well, yeah, it is indeed. And bear in mind, people are, I don't know when you were going to talk about this, but people are creating apps for messages.
Yeah, I haven't actually used one yet, but I saw a rather cute Apple video of people playing chess, effectively chess by mail, which has been done for years and years and years, but chess by message, which was very cool.
Yeah, Mary Jane and I use a couple apps. WeDo is one of them, and it's a to-do list thing where you can share a to-do list, like a grocery list with somebody. And I must say, there's something going on. They must be getting lots of downloads because they sure are updating it frequently. It keeps getting better. So I like that. There's also something View. It's not a to-do list. It's something else. I forget what it is. I haven't used that one as much. But the task list I've used a great deal. And it's a little confusing at first, but I think that's because they, you know, their first time out, and they got to work all the workflow issues out of it. But the later versions of it have gotten better.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good thing. We have used shared notes along the same lines, but we found it to be a bit iffy. Sometimes you share a note and the other person just can't open it. Other times it works. So that's Apple hasn't quite got the whole cloud thing sussed yet.
No, they don't. And I'm not so sure anybody has synchronization sussed as it were. As you and I both know from writing apps that have sync issues, it's not easily remedied. The notification system is not foolproof by any means.
Mm.
And it's easy to get out of sync and very easy to lose data.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't actually ever lose anything. You know, there should be some sort of master copy somewhere. But, yes,
yeah,
it is
yeah,
not
true.
Easy, that's for sure.
Yeah. In fact, the podcast, Connected Podcast, that Mike Hurley and Federico Patici do, they were trying out all the new stuff that, you know, the sync stuff. And I forget which app it was they were using. I don't think it was Notes. It might have been Notes. But anyway, I know what it was. It was one of the iWork apps, Pages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were using that in order to put together the show notes and stuff like that. And part of them got overwritten, and they did lose some data.
Ah. Well, that's very new, of course, the whole collaborative stuff, and it's only in beta. So I would give them a bit of slack on that one.
Yeah, I would too, but it's not going to be easy. It's a hard job.
It's a very hard job. Okay, here's a tip which I found out the other day. You know how in the previous versions of iOS, when you're typing, you get that auto suggestion bar above the keyboard? And
yes.
You could close and open that just by dragging down on it.
Right.
Well, in iOS 10, that drag has gone.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can't close that suggestion bar just by dragging up and down. The way you close it is by a long tap on the world keyboard button, and it comes up with it allows you to switch between keyboards, but it also has two switches, shortcuts and predictive, and you can toggle the predictive, you just get the copy-paste ones. If you toggle shortcuts as well as predictive, it shrinks the whole keyboard. But that is now the way to do it instead of using the swipe.
Oh, let's try it. Hold on a sec. This is very exciting. Yeah. Okay. Now I hold down. Well, okay, I'm in Twitter. I'm about to tweet something. There's a field there.
Mm-hmm.
Does this work in all fields where I can type?
I don't think you have to have a field. It's just you have to have the keyboard up.
Keyboard's up.
Okay, now hold down on the world button.
There is no world button.
Okay.
Smiley. I've got a smiley.
The keyboard switching button, whichever it is.
Cool. Okay, I see it. Okay, so I can get shortcuts and or predictive. Interesting. Huh.
Yeah, the shortcuts is the undo, redo, copy, paste buttons.
Right.
And the predictive is the suggested text. The predictive, though, I have found to be really good. Like if you are filling in a form on a website and it's an email form, once you've put your cursor in that email field, it will pop up showing my various email addresses. So just one tap and I can fill in my email.
Wow, nice.
Same for filling in address forms.
Yeah, I have noticed a bit of that under the same circumstances you have. But what I didn't know about those switches, and I always had it set for both of them anyway, so I wouldn't have noticed, I guess. Right?
Yeah, I think it's probably a good idea because I had at least one friend ring saying, it's disappeared, how do I get it back? And he swiped and
really?
He didn't know what he'd done that had made it disappear. So I think having to be more explicit about making it disappear is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I did that at first when iOS 9, I think, or iOS 8, is that where they came out, or 7? I forget.
Oh, 8 or 9, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 8. Yeah, I did the exact same thing. And in fact, I did it, and then I saw, there's a little grabber in the middle here. I'll just pull that up and see if it brings it back, and it did. So, you know, I'm evidently like center on what Apple thinks most people will do.
Yep.
But Mary Jane's an edge case, and she showed me, what happened? Where's all that stuff you were talking about? Yeah. Okay, here it is. Just pull that thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Well, I guess the next thing I'd like to talk about is the home screen and the home screen interactions.
Okay.
And
let's do it.
We now have a case where with the Touch ID, the button now has two functions. Firstly, it just turns the screen on, but still in lock mode. And then you've actually got to press in order to unlock.
Unless you change the accessibility setting.
Unless you do that. But I like it the way it is. Couple of reasons. Well, firstly, people were complaining that when they just wanted to check the time, they would pick up their phone and it would immediately unlock when they didn't need it to unlock. They just wanted to know the time or to see if they had any notifications. So I think this is designed more or less for that, to combat the super speed of the Touch ID fingerprint recognition.
Right, which of course had to happen, so they'll be ready for a homeless screen next year.
As we discussed last time, yes.
Yes.
The thing that worries me slightly is that in unlock mode, there are certain privacy issues. And as soon as Apple announced iOS 10 at the WWDC in June, I thought of this as a privacy issue. If you send me a message and it appears on my lock screen as a notification, I can read that message and I can answer it without ever unlocking my phone.
Yeah. I thought of that too. What's the deal with that?
I don't like that. Well, I went into my settings and I, in notifications, I went through the things that I didn't want that to happen, and I said, do not show on lock screen. So messages, mail, WhatsApp, you know, basically the communications apps. Because
that is kind of risky.
I think they should be turned off by default.
Oh, they're on.
Yeah.
Oh, those are all on by default.
Well, who knows, if you got a fresh iPhone out of the factory with and didn't, you know, didn't restore from backup, maybe they're off. But certainly in my case, they were on.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't know what a fresh iPhone is anymore. It's been too many years.
No.
So,
it's been a while, right?
I have to agree with you on that. That is tricksy. That's tricksy.
That is tricky. However, there are some things that work, like when you get to your home screen and you're still locked, and if you swipe either side, one side gets you to the camera and one side gets you to the notifications. If you get to the camera, you can take a picture, but you can't see your photos. So that's that's at least a good privacy issue. So you can quickly take a picture.
I would agree.
Or anybody can quickly take a picture, but you can't see the existing ones. If you swipe in the other direction to see the notifications, or the extensions rather, most of it is fairly innocuous. I mean, looking at mine now, I can see my reminders, but I also have Find Friends on that extensions list. And while it shows me the friends I've listed, it's not showing the location. It says I have to unlock to view their location. So that's good.
Yeah, that is good. Absolutely.
And I would have expected messages to be more like that. You know, say that it would tell me I got a message from somebody, but not show me the text of the message unless I'd unlocked, and definitely not allow me to reply unless I'd unlocked.
I would think so. That would be disastrous.
I mean, anybody picking up the phone can just reply on your behalf. Now, I suppose the only case that would be useful is if you lose your phone and you can send a text to your phone saying, you know, have you got my phone? And the person should reply. But I think Find My Phone has the ability to do something like that without using the standard messages interface.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, hey, what do you think of the new notifications, by the way? Oh, I didn't want to change. You had more to say. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say I recommend that people go through their notification settings and for things that they don't want to appear when the phone is unlocked, you turn off show on lock screen for that app.
Yes, and I think, frankly, somebody ought to be in charge at Apple of, you know, making, you don't have to make a big deal out of stuff like this, but, you know, you should make some recommendations, and that's one I would make. I would say, look, exactly what you said. It's got a new feature on it. We don't want your phone to be vulnerable or your information, so you might just review some of these and think about it. And here's what we, you know, here's areas to look for.
Yeah, well, yeah, Apple is so good about everybody's privacy, and you know, I trust them to do the right thing and to allow me to secure my own information. But in this case, I think that, and in this case, I can secure my own information. But I think it's the default should be that the information is secured.
True, I agree totally. Okay. So I had asked you a question about the new notification screens.
Okay,
what do you think?
I have to say I haven't really experienced any. There's new features for developers to allow more rich content in notifications and to allow users to do more response in notifications. And I haven't really encountered any of those yet myself. Have you?
One or two. It's not commonplace yet, so but of course, appearance-wise, it has a completely new window-like appearance. It has a layered effect, kind of a bokeh effect if you think about it, right? Where everything in the back is gauzy and everything in front is crystal clear. And, you know, they're rounded racks, gray rounded racks, two-tone, light gray on top, dark gray below. Kind of titled, not unlike Windows, right? So,
I think they look good. It's just a matter of developers getting into that and making them more functional.
I guess I would say they're, what I do like about the look is that it differentiates them. You know, this is something you're supposed to pay attention to. And this is what something you're supposed to pay attention to looks like. You know? Before, it was flatter, and it was more baked into the screen, right? And all that good stuff. And it was attractive, don't get me wrong. In some ways, this is not quite as artsy, but I think it might be better in some ways. How do you like the swipe left and right? How do you like the swipe left and right?
I like it, except that when I get into the camera, I automatically then try swiping to get back onto the middle, and that changes the camera mode, not changes the screen.
Yes,
and
that is
that
correct.
Gets me every time.
Ah. Well, we have something similar. If you swipe up from the bottom, you get, you can...
Oh, the new control center.
Yeah, the control center, which, you know, I rather like. I think it's nice.
I like
being able to see my Apple TV.
I think it's better.
It is better. Apple TV is right there, you know.
Yeah, instead of being hidden under another little button.
Right. And AirDrop, much better. I do a lot of AirDrop. You and Tim do a lot of AirDrop?
We do a fair bit, and I definitely agree. It is getting better.
Yeah. It was troublesome before, and also it was difficult to get a good AirDrop sometimes. And both machines were on, both had AirDrop enabled, and you wouldn't see one or the other of them.
Very much so. And Mac to iOS or iOS to iOS, it seemed to be a lottery as to which devices would show up.
Right.
I tell you what I've tried and does work perfectly, and that's the shared clipboard.
Oh, yeah, I've been able to do that for obvious reasons.
Oh, well, I can copy something on my Mac, like a web address, and go to my iPhone, iPad, and there it is.
I know, and they pretty much thought it out. I've heard in one of Gruber's latest shows, I think it was Serenity Caldwell was on with him, and she talked about some of the details of how that works and the time limit they have on it. So it doesn't become a nuisance.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about time limits, but yes, you don't want something hanging around there forever.
No, you have to use your clipboard for something else, maybe, or, you know, you don't realize what's in there because, you know, you have a short-term memory problem. Not that I know anyone
like that.
Well,
you don't realize. Well, I might too, but I can't remember. yes, if you copy something on your Mac and go to your iPhone without having thought about that, you could be very surprised at what you paste then. But I guess you don't usually use paste unless you have a fixed idea of what's there.
Yeah, it's a very edge case, but I think it's kind of cool that they thought of a very implicit and silent way to deal with it.
Yes, I think so. It's not actually all their copy-paste stuff for iOS has been really well thought through, I think. They refused to do it until they could do it properly. And now I think, again, this is a case of they didn't rush into doing it until they knew they could do it properly.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of thinking has to go into the issues of workflow and user experience. And it's easy to rush something and not have that thought out. So kudos. Kudos to the gang in Cupertino. What else did you find notable in iOS 10?
We're nearly running out of time, but I'd just like to make a quick mention of maps.
Okay.
And maps, I've always liked maps because of all the various mapping options out there. It's always been the most visually appealing, the least cluttered, the easiest to take in on a quick glance when you're driving.
Right.
The new version has gone for a slightly heavier font, makes it slightly less elegant in my opinion, but perhaps more comprehensible. But the big thing that we've been waiting for is the option to set it to avoid toll roads.
Oh, now that is cunning.
Yeah, Google Maps has had that forever, and it's meant that whenever we've been going to certain places where we knew we could avoid the tolls, we had to switch to using Google Maps. And now we can stick to Apple Maps.
Nice.
And the display is also good in that it no longer puts your location kind of in the exact center of the display all the time. If there's a right-hand turn coming up, it will move your dot on the map slightly to the left so you get more of a view of what's coming after you do the turn.
Well, I haven't gone driving with it yet, so we're about to use it tomorrow, actually. So I'm glad to hear that because that is something I remember from using it, you know, in the recent past.
Yeah. Well, I think it's got a whole lot better. So,
good.
You know, we do occasional really long road trips, and when we do those, we test out all the various options, and we end up using a mixture. But I think Apple Maps, who's data has just become more and more accurate as the years went on, as was inevitable. I think their feature list is now getting really good. The only thing that I would really like now is for them to have a speed limit option and display of your current speed.
Well, you know, they have that on the built-in, GPS units that you get for, they still make them, believe it or not. Not everybody uses their car. But, yeah, they have those built in. Also, another good thing would be we should get a beep or something when we go through an intersection that's got a CCTV camera.
Ah, well, we actually have an app, but it's New Zealand and Australia only, called MetroView. And it does exactly that. It gives you a beep when you're approaching a camered intersection.
Right.
And it gives you a display of your speed and the current speed limit. And it beeps at you if you're going over the speed limit.
Oh, boy, that'd be beautiful. Yeah,
its display of the roads is terrible. It's really cluttered and messy and hard to read, but those two features are killer features, and obviously they can be done. So I would love it if Apple put them in as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, you got to go. I got to go.
I've got to go. Nice chatting to you, Jerry.
Nice chatting with you.
Next week.
All righty, bye.
Bye.